FM 104 is switched on and I'm joined by Olivia Fahey of Geek Ireland. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very good. You're back to teach me more about Formula One.
I am. It's like your bi-weekly education lesson for the evening.
Oh, I do try. But we are four races in. What have we learned so far?
Well, what we've learned so far is that Max Verstappen is in a rocket ship and everybody else is just kind of vying for second place. And at the moment, it seems like it could be Sergio Perez, who's in the other kind of rocket ship that's not quite as fast as Max Verstappen's, or it could be Carlos Sainz, who is the exiting Ferrari driver. So, yeah, we don't really know where he's going to be going next, and neither does he.
I think it's amazing and quite surprising that Max is doing so well and just consistently. Like, literally at this point, there's nobody else close.
No, there really isn't. And the only way anybody could overtake him is literally when the car went on fire. So that was the only way they could slow him down, was like his car literally went up in flames in Melbourne and he didn't finish the race. So it's his first DNF in, oh my goodness, I think it was like years.
I'd imagine he wasn't very pleased that day.
He wasn't, but he kind of took it on the chin. He was like, it was a freak, you know, incident that that it just, everything just broke, basically.
You couldn't control it. There's nothing you can do at that point.
Yeah, so he was like, look, the team is looking into it. You know, it'll be sorted for the next race. It's a shame. It's not how we wanted it to go, but, you know, we move on. And, you know, that's a much more mature Max Verstappen than we've kind of seen in previous years. But it did give Carlos Sainz the chance to win the race, which was really interesting because he had actually missed the previous race in Saudi Arabia because he was getting his appendix removed.
Wow.
So everybody was then joking that maybe they should all go in and get their appendix removed to be slightly lighter and quicker in the car.
Oh, stop. At this point, they'll try anything.
Exactly. Now, like, none of them are taking it seriously. And for anyone listening, we are not encouraging people to do that.
No,
but
that
was kind of like the running joke, because even though he was saying beforehand he didn't feel like he was totally prepared to get back in behind the wheel of the car, he ended up going to win the race. So it was quite the shock, but also a fantastic achievement for him. And one of the jokes that he made was, he's like, well, I still don't have a drive for next year, so I suppose this will help.
So they were in the Japanese GP last weekend. They're going to be looking ahead now to the Chinese GP in 2 weeks' time. What is going to change, or is anything going to change in the next couple of weeks?
Well, one thing that I'm curious about is if the Williams team have another chassis that they're going to be able to put into their car, because Alex Albon has been making a bit of a habit of destroying them. But in fairness, Logan Sargeant hasn't exactly been able to keep the car on track himself. So between the pair of them, they're kind of just destroying their car quite a few times throughout the season so far. And when you think about it, like, we're only four races in. So it's so early on that clearly the factory hadn't produced enough backup chassis or other parts for them just to be able to swap them in. So even in Melbourne, Logan Sargeant wasn't even able to race because Alex destroyed his car so badly that they couldn't fix it. And he is the number one driver, so he ended up using Logan's car in order to qualify and race.
Oh, dear. That's a problem.
Yeah, it is a really big problem. And also, like, as much as Logan, he's definitely not a terrible driver, but he's also certainly not one of the best. He's usually down the back of the grid. I did feel really, really bad for him. Like, as much as, you know, you lose your seat due to your own, like, driving abilities, but to have to get out of your car because your teammate couldn't keep it on the road, that's a proper slap in the face. But he took it well, and then they came back. Well, I was about to say they came back strong in Suzuka, but no, they didn't.
You would kind of like to be a fly on that wall, though, between that conversation. I was
picturing, you know, Kevin Magnussen style, like, smashing of doors happening, like they showed in Drive to Survive a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But I'd say that conversation would have been very, very interesting. But overall, like, it was weird to see Suzuka so early on in the season. It is usually later on in the year, but I think it was mostly to do with, like, the fact that the weather has always been so terrible when they've arrived, to the point that some years they haven't even been able to race when they've shown up. I think that was one of the reasons why they decided to move it this year. And I think it worked in the fact that it was in like cherry blossom season, and it just kind of added to the majestic of the Japanese Grand Prix, which so many drivers are such big fans of. And, you know, Max, I think, is one of the few drivers who's after been able to win the Japanese Grand Prix 3 times in a row now. And, you know, he's on to a flying start. The fact that he's won 3 of the 4 Grand Prix so far this year, it's really hard to see anybody else kind of pipping him to the post now.
Yeah, it's very, very impressive to watch it. I was also reading a lot about rumours with Alpine and how they're thinking of selling.
Well, now, what I find really funny with this is that they made such a big deal last year that, you know, Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney, and they're part of this big conglomerate that are buying into sports teams, a la Wrexham. Yes. Well, they bought into Alpine last year.
Oh.
And clearly they haven't been giving it as much attention as they do with Wrexham, because Alpine seem to have gone from bad to worse since they've made that investment. So it's a very confusing thing to see happen. Like, they have, as much as they've been on kind of like a bit of a downward slope, it's been so dramatic that it's quite shocking. And I do feel for Ocon and for Gasly. Like, it's a French team, they have 2 French drivers, like, this should be a match made in heaven. But it's just not. Like, when you think about it, this is the former Benetton, Renault team. We'll forget about Lotus in the middle there. But it's like some of the most iconic teams that have been on the racetrack. Like, Fernando Alonso won his 2 championships with Benetton. So they do have such a powerful legacy in the sport. But since they became Alpine, it's just not really been able to get there. So it's yeah, it's a shame if they do have to sell, and they kind of, if they struggle for the next few years, I don't know if they'll be able to come back.
Yeah, but they were saying that they, you know, they'd sell it, but whoever would take it on would still have to use the Renault engine. So they're not fully letting go of it. They're just like, someone else just needs to take this pressure off because we're just upset that it's not going our way.
They're just looking for more buy-ins, basically, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Do we know yet who's going to take over from Lewis?
No, but the rumour mill is churning like crazy. Like, a lot of people are thinking that it could be one of the younger drivers coming up through the Formula ranks. Some people are even saying it could be Sebastian Vettel. So I think the Vettel rumours have been particularly interesting because he was so hypercritical of the sport and its environmental impact before he left that, you know, not much has changed in that sense, so I'd be very surprised if he decided to come back. He seems to be kind of loving what he's doing at the moment, but who knows, he may decide to do an Alonso and only end up taking like a year or two out and then coming back to, you know, show everybody his boss.
Do we know when we might find out?
Honestly, I'd be very surprised if we hear anything before the summer break, because that's usually when a lot of these contract negotiations, they'll either take place just before or just after. So I'd say that will be one of the key moments, but who knows, they may wait until the very, very end of the season to see where does Carlos finish. Does he finish above or below Charles Leclerc? They might wait and see how, now his surname escapes me, but Kimi is his first name for the young lad. They might see how his season finishes, or they might just sort of take a punt and be like, you know what, Daniel Ricciardo, you're still, you know, bringing in the money, and we need someone who's likable back on the team, so come on. Because at the end of the day, like, Toto Wolff's been very open and honest about how, you know, it's more than just losing a great driver in Lewis Hamilton. And like, Kieran will tell you, that chokes me to say out loud that Hamilton's a good driver. But at the same time, he's been such a prolific figure in the sport that he would bring in a lot of sponsorship for them as a result of him just being on the team. Yeah. Even if he wasn't racing, just having his presence in amongst the team, that was what was bringing in sponsors. So they do need to think about who's also going to be sellable to the sponsors, and to, from like a marketing point of view as well. For me, I think Ricciardo is probably one of the most popular drivers on the grid. And yeah, he hasn't been performing very well, but he's also not in a very good car. Would he be able to perform better in a Mercedes? Who knows?
Maybe. So at the moment, it's wide open.
It is completely wide open. And even Carlos Sainz, like, there's rumours that he might be going to Audi next year, but again, who knows? Because Audi will be taking over for Kite Sauber. But Kite Sauber at the moment, Jesus, that team just need to work on those pit stops like crazy. Like, most pit stops are running at about 2.4, 2.5 seconds. Mm-hmm. I think their quickest one was like 8 over the weekend. So there's a really big difference between them and the rest of the pack. Yeah. And, you know, and the bright green jumpsuits, they stand out.
Yes, you know when they're taking a bit longer because you're like, oh, yeah. I spot you. I see you there. So we'll be looking ahead then to the Chinese Grand Prix from the 19th to 21st of April, and we'll have you back and we'll have another little chat about it.
Sounds good.
Excellent. Olivia Fahey of Geek Ireland, thank you so much for chatting to me.
Always a pleasure.